Off the Ball, GAA.
It's a funny one. It's very hard to make comparisons here. Obviously, with a father like Kieran McDonald and a name like Kobe, there's going to be comparisons made if you've any bit of talent about you.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
League of Ireland Football
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. You can WhatsApp us 087-9180-180. This week's Saturday panel on Off the Ball. Thanks to Rockshore. Remember, League of Ireland coverage and Off the Ball brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Always be drink aware, get the facts, and visit drinkaware.ie. You can get all the reactions to the League of Ireland on LOI Late Night on Fridays of game week. So Shamrock Rovers slipped up last night, but it'll only delay the inevitable, folks. 22nd League of Ireland crown in the coming weeks. They'll bid for the double against Cork City as well in the FAI Cup final next month. And they've got five more matches in the Europa Conference League. So it's cock a hoop to be a hoop at the moment. We're going to profile the club over the next hour. This is not a biased thing, folks, because we could do the same for Bohemians, Shelburne, Derry City, Cork City. We will as well in the next while as we go forward. But we have in studio Ronan Finn, a league and FAI Cup winner who played over 400 times for the club, scoring over 50 times. Three-time Rovers Player of the Year, Barry Murphy, the goalkeeper, and John Cody, who won the double with the club on more than one occasion in the 1980s before playing with Chelsea in the English First Division. Ronan, John, Barry, how are we all doing?
Great, John. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. You're waiting still. We're waiting for Rovers to get it done.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, speaking out to the lads, we know as, you know, guests in here and fans now that it's going to happen. But as a group for Stephen and the lads, they can't say that yet. They just have to wait. And, you know, I'm sure they'll get it over the line. When it that way be, we'll see. But I'm sure that, listen, they're nearly there.
There was a man on my street, no longer with us, Jimmy McGlone, a lovely man. And he was a big Rovers supporter. And you think of the players that played for the club, Jimmy Dunn and Paddy Code and Liam Toohey and Mick Leach and Paddy Mulligan and Liam Buckley and Mick Neville, Mick Byrne, Pat Byrne, Stephen Gagan, Stephen Rice, Pico Lopez and Graham Burke and Lee Grace and Dylan Watts. There's loads of players I'm sure have left out. But Shamrock Rovers, the most successful club in the country's history, 21 leagues, 25 FAI Cups. You're talking back to the Busby Babes coming to Dublin in the 50s to play Rovers. You talk about the six FAI Cups in the 1960s, the double winning team you're involved in. There's a Rovers friend of mine when I was a young kid who just kept on saying triple double to me. And then you move from Glenmalure Park to eventually to Tala, which is your home now. So, look, what does the club mean to you, John? Is it because you were a supporter before you even a player?
Yeah, it was my first game was in the mid 60s. My two older brothers were huge fans, and so we were all ingratiated in Rovers and accordingly brought up to the ground for the matches. And it was just fantastic at that time in the 60s. Like in the mid to late 60s, Rovers were getting average home gates, I think around 15 or 16,000 people, which was phenomenal in those days, before the birth of Premier League TV and stuff.
Or the Dubs and Kerry.
Yeah, all that, all those other distractions. So, yeah, it was fantastic. Steeped in Rovers. Whole family are steeped in them. So
it was, John Giles got you into it.
Yeah, actually it was a friend of mine. I was playing, funny enough, for the YMCA in the Leinster Senior League, and a friend of mine insisted on bringing me up. He was a friend of Noel Campbell, who was the B team manager at the time, and he said, come on, I've organised a trial for you. And I said, yeah, okay, we'll give it a go anyway. And I was late. I was 22 at this stage. You think those opportunities have gone past you because you've had no breaks. You've just been playing kind of junior football and mind your own business, going out with the lads on a Saturday night, having a great time. So, up I went. And he just stopped outside the gate. He said, in you go. So, you know, he went in the little gate of the big green gate. And of course, being a Rovers fan, the only thing I knew to do was go into the first team, the rest of the room, because that's where Rovers togged out. So, you know, I went and sat down and accordingly told, dispatched to the away team, the rest of the room. Sorry, lad, the B team are in there. So, yeah, so I went in and I didn't leave for 6 years. So it was fantastic. Yeah, they took me on and went obviously from the B team and then got a break in the first team as a centre forward, funny enough. And the rest, they say, is history.
So John Giles was lucky, he was an icon of Irish football, still is. Yep. I mean, even what did you even learn from him?
I remember distinctly how to protect yourself on a football field. It was like a raw 22-year-old coming into the game, and he said, "John, you're far too open. You have to mind yourself at all times." And that was one thing was he taught me how to do was how to tackle properly, how to defend yourself and mind yourself on a football field, because football in the 80s was slightly different than it is today. There was people basically trying to break your leg in every tackle. So that was very important to learn that aspect of it. But other little things like runs to make, like little tactical things that you wouldn't even think about, but the difference they make to your game is phenomenal.
So Barry, you joined the club, as a teenager?
Yeah, I was playing for Leicester Celtic down in Nutgrove, and we just played Shamrock Rovers actually in a league match, and went home and my dad's like, "How'd you get on?" I said, "We're grand. They're not great, Rovers, not a great side at all." And he's like, "That's funny enough, they left ringing and asking if you wanted to come up to the Foyle Cup with them." So I was like, "Oh, actually a very good side, actually." Not bad. But went up to the Foyle Cup with them as a teenager. Went back to Leicester Celtic and then went back up to the Mill Cup with them. Joined the academy then and never looked back really.
So like early in your tenure, they were a first division club. So it's amazing given the status they've always had as maybe the establishment club in the game, you know?
Yeah, I was actually with them in the Premier Division with Roddy Collins was our manager, and Russell Payne, an American goalkeeper, was in at the time. Hadn't done too well. I was only a 17, 18 year old and was on the bench a couple of times. And suddenly Roddy calls me into the dressing room before a Waterford game and says, "You're starting today, son." I was like, "Jesus." Went into the toilet, got the phone out, rang the parents, "I'm starting, get yourselves into the game," and played Waterford that night, kept a clean sheet and stayed in the team, but unfortunately got relegated that season. Probably good for me because as a youngster, it gave me a chance to solidify my place in the team, got down to the first division. Roddy lost his job at the end of it. We lost in the playoff to Dublin City, and then in the first division with Pat Scully, we came in and went straight back up. And that was really the start of the good times for Shamrock Rovers, was that first division win. A couple of years later, we were obviously still nomads in talk at the time. A couple of years later, we had the first game against Sligo and Tala, and the era in Tala really started from then.
And for you, Ronan, you were coming into the team, into Rovers, when it began to start going up and up.
Yeah, I came in 2011 under Michael. So I think Rovers...
Michael O'Neill, yeah.
Yeah, Rovers had just won the league the year before. So I was coming in, as you said, when they were on the upward trajectory. And Liz had a great year with Michael. I'd come in from... done 5 years at UCD, then done a year at Sporting Fingal, and at that stage was probably ready to come into full-time football and into an environment. And yeah, straight away you recognise the magnitude of the club. You understand that this was a real football club. No disrespect to, say, UCD and Sporting Fingal, they were different models. And then all of a sudden you were in the door and, you know, there was expectation. All of a sudden there was a, you know, the fans, there was... second wasn't good enough, you know, and all like in UCD and Sporting Fingal, again, on respect, it was slightly different. And then all of a sudden you're in the building, and here there was demands put on from Michael, put on from the players, and you know, and it was something that, you know, I really enjoyed and embraced. And yeah, didn't look back really at it. You know, we won the league that year with Michael, and then he moved on, Stephen came in, and you know, again, maybe the club went through a bit of a period of, you know, had to rebuild after that. But after that first year with Michael, I learned a hell of a lot.
So Chelsea, by the way, folks, have just scored twice in 3 minutes. Josh Anshimpong and Pedro Neto at the City Ground. Nottingham Forest 0, Chelsea 2. John Cody's former club. We'll get to that in a bit, John. But yeah, Ange Postecoglou on the screen there and a man under pressure. So how, Ronan, has Shamrock Rovers changed? And what have you seen? What changes have you seen from the moment you walked in the door to the moment you've left?
Yeah, in 2011, I suppose what's not changed, and what I don't think will ever change, is the expectation. And the demands from the fans, you know, that's one thing I learned straight away. And, you know, as soon as you leave, nothing's changed. You know, that high pressure intensity of needing to win results. I remember like being at Dundalk, playing against Rovers, and it was still the same for the opposition. We were playing against Rovers at the time, and you could hear the fans, if Dundalk were beating them, like they were just not happy, you know. So that's something that will never change, I suppose. What's changed a lot is the infrastructure. And how the club's built and evolved behind the scenes. And that's partly down to, you know, huge amount of work from the members. Then, you know, when I came back in 2017, so much work from Stephen Bradley, Steve McPhail, Shane Robinson, people like that to build up the academy. And then it's really, I think they've led the line in terms of League of Ireland clubs. They've set the bar, set the standard there, the benchmark now, and you can see other clubs have emulated that. But I think, spoke to Stephen recently, I think he wants to go further. We'll require more investment. But I'm sure for Steve and this group, this isn't, they want to go more. They want further success, whether that be probably going into, you know, higher European competitions.
Europa League and maybe possibly even the Champions League. Like, from, say, the position you were in, Barry, say First Division, to where you see the club as now, I mean, what have you seen that's changed, do you think?
That's night and day. I think even under Roddy Collins, we were training in Marley Park and getting chased off by the gatekeeper there as well, like for training sessions. Just to see Roadstone now in itself, it's an incredible facility just for kids going in, the Astro pitches, the gym, everything around it. From where we were training up in Ellensburg, up in Tala, as youths coming through the thing, we're in a porta cabin, like, you know, the kind of ship containers with no lights. Just from that, from where that is now to where the academy is now, we just saw that kind of build from the First Division. There's real emphasis, as Ronan said, put on winning. That First Division team was the kind of start of it, that emphasis for me as a player going in and winning, and then going into the Michael Neal era, the Pat Fenlon era at Shamrock Rovers. It was all about kind of building towards something. And you see over the years, it's just got better and better. And obviously the introduction of the stadium as well. When I first went there with against Sligo Rovers, just one stand. You're looking at that in itself. It's a four-standard stadium now, 10,000-seater. Incredible. Rovers doing well to get 6,000-7,000 there most weeks. And you just look at the whole area and the league as a whole, it's been built up, and Rovers have been a driving force in that and dragging other teams along with the academy. See the likes of Pats and Bowes now doing it as well, Derry as well, trying to invest in their academies as well. But it's come a long way in just the 20 years since I started.
Was Ronaldo the first you were there?
Yeah. So he was, that was 2000.
In Tata now.
2009, yeah. So that was his debut, was against us, Real Madrid.
What do you remember of it?
Oh, it was incredible. Just the week leading up to it. I think we had a game against Sligo again, actually, 2 days before. So you're kind of wondering, if I play that game, am I going to be involved in that game against Real Madrid? And you just look at the lads. I remember all week, you'd have a couple of press interviews to do during the week. And then that week, Spanish TV, World TV, everything was at the training ground, just surrounding us. We just lapped it up, and you had Pat Flynn saying he's going to get blood on his boot from Ronaldo, all the sort of stuff in the papers. It was just incredible to be there. But then walking out, and you see, that was the first time as a one-sided stadium, there was four sides because there was temporary stands up all around it. And you're walking out, and I remember walking out of the tunnel, and Michael O'Neill had said to us in the match before, or the pre-match talk, Pat, you're taking Ronaldo, Darren Maguire, you've got Rel, whoever it was, you've got Guti, all these lads, and you're just walking out beside these fellas going, this is incredible to play in front of this. Like, and obviously you don't want to make a fool of yourself in front of how many million watching at home as well. But we kept it to nil all till 87 minutes, I think. Benzema scored and we lost 1-0, but just an incredible time.
What was you can feel the feeling of that story that Barry's on there. I mean, for playing for Rovers, maybe he was in Europe, or maybe he was in big League of Ireland matches or title deciders, or playing against great players. When did you have the feeling there of, whoa, this is something special?
I suppose the game that I always go back to was maybe the Belgrade game. Again, back to 2011, and that was, just a really, momentous occasion, because I think going over there, the game was still alive, but, with all the will in the world, we knew we were still up against it. You know, Partizan, really good side. It was never going to be an easy game. And just how the game panned out, like Pat Sullivan's goal, like some of Ryan Thompson's saves, Stevie O'Donnell's penalty, that was probably the one. And then you're talking about magnitude of games and moments. For me, I've been lucky enough to have some, big moments with the club, but that was probably the one standout. Again, you talk about maybe 2019 FAI Cup final.
You were the captain, yeah?
Yeah, so I think 30 plus thousand at the stadium, and it being, I think, the same amount, 32 years maybe since the club had won it. And you could, and genuinely, when we won the cup, you could see the raw emotion in people's faces. Like, I mean, grown men, members, all the staff, what it meant to the club at that time. Just, the club had a bit of a barren spell that they hadn't won the league. But I remember on the lead up to that game, it was just the cup, speaking to Rovers fans, speaking to people, just running with, the cup, making stuff like, just, it was just the cup. They wanted the cup, there was just a special relationship that we had. And again, that was another really just special moment. And, personally for me, it was a nice moment, and, have your family there. And the club at that stage, I think Stephen had come in 2000, maybe the end of 2016, and this was just all part of his pathway. I mean, in fairness to Stephen, he never deviated away from, he always had a plan of what he wanted to do. The club gave him time because he needed time. Dundalk at that period were a really good side, and it was never going to happen overnight. The club needed, and it wasn't, there were some tough days between the 2017 and 2019. There were some tough days for all of us in the dressing room, Stephen, myself as captain, the players. Wasn't easy. And then it wasn't relief getting the cup, because I think we were grown, and we were, I think Dundalk knew we were coming. I think we'd played them earlier on in that campaign and they beat us 1-0 late, but we weren't far away, and then we'd done them then in the cup a few months later. And I think by the end of the cup final, I think we may have had a post-match meet, and we were like, the objective was, it was the league next year. And that's what it was. I think COVID came, but I think we'd won 19 games, or we played 19 and we won 15 or something. We were unbeaten that season. It was a really, really strong group. And in fairness, you know, during my time, the club then didn't look back. And, you know, I walked away after winning the 4 in a row. And yeah, so it was. It was during that period, as I said, tough first couple of years. But then in fairness to Stephen and the group, you know, got a real handle of it and kept progressing. Stephen didn't stand still, kept on making them maybe 2-3 signings per year. Didn't have to rejig his team. You know, we had a good core group of experienced players and was just able to pick and choose maybe 2 or 3 to just add each year. And listen, you see the group now and how good they are.
Any kid wants to lift a cup when you're 5 or 6 or playing in back garden?
Yeah, like I never really understood. I remember playing for UCD and people then, I think, came in to Rovers and never really understood how big the cup final was until I played. And I was like, I get it now. I remember maybe Trevor Crawley saying to me, I had to go, and you're not going to get a chance to play in many cup finals. Like, this is a real, like, John, you've played. And I'm like, I mean, they're, you know, yeah, they're brilliant occasions. And yeah, for maybe for Shamrock Rovers, it's just that extra little bit of nostalgia. And, so, yeah.
So John, your memorable moments for the Rovers, what would stood out for you?
Where do you start?
Can you
well, like Ronan, I suppose, we hadn't won the league for 20 years. Georgie had gone. Georgie had won the cup in 78. I think that was the only success they had. And then Jim McLaughlin came in 1983-84 season. And like that, I got into the team, funny enough, because Kevin Brady got injured and I was playing left back and did quite well. So I was kept on for the whole season at left back. I played every match. So, going to Milltown, I remember we had to beat Shelbourne in the last day to secure the title. I think they were kind of 2 points or a point behind us or 2 points behind us, and we had to beat them to win the league, to make sure mathematically. So, and yeah, that was a fantastic day. Going on from that then, we qualified for the European Cup, played Celtic in Glenmalure Park, which was a huge occasion, as you can imagine. The affiliation between Rovers and Celtic is really, really high. I think it was a fantastic bond, especially the supporters that kind of do Rovers and Celtic. There's thousands of them. And that was a special night too, particularly when we played so well and we just, they pipped us 1-0, they got a breakaway goal from an air corner, funny enough. Other games we went on a pre-season tour of Spain and Portugal, I remember. It was fantastic, again around 86-87, and we played a three-way tournament with Benfica and Sporting Lisbon in Lisbon, and that was really special. We played in the old Stadium of Light. It looked half empty. There was only 50,000 people at the match. It was just held 120 or something. It was phenomenal, and we drew 0-0 with them. And then the next match we went and played Sporting Lisbon and we beat them 1-0. So that was just that whole feel. I remember we got the flight from Lisbon up to the north of Spain, because we had another tournament to play then against Athletic Bilbao and Santander, where one of our players, Alan Campbell, had got a transfer to. And again, on that train trip, our plane trip was just extraordinary. The feeling of just, you know, you've done so well against really quality opposition. You've proved, you've kind of reached your levels, so to speak. And everybody just clicked on that trip. We didn't do too so well up in Spain, but it was just such a memorable event. All the league winning matches are always special as well. They're always special to me anyway. And of course, the cup matches, they're just cup finals, are just different class when you're playing for Rovers. That's all I ever wanted to do, funny enough, as a kid, was to pull on a jersey for Rovers and play in the cup final. That's all. One of my first matches was the 69 replay in Dalymount, and Rovers beat Cork's Celtic, I think, 4-1 in the replay. And it was just magical. The lights, the grass, Rovers, the green and white hoops. Oh, it's just, I was smitten.
What was Jim McLaughlin like to play? Oh,
phenomenal man. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal man. His knowledge and of each and every player you were playing against. You would get a rundown on every player you were playing against. What he was like, where he would go, what he would try to do to you. Especially as a fullback. You've had mostly tricky wingers. He was fantastic. His organisational skills. His recruitment policy was fabulous. We lost many, many players to foreign clubs, and the replacement process was just, and it was all him. Like, there was no like Steve McPhail going out and looking at players for a couple of months. None of that nonsense. It was just, we'll get this guy in, and more times than not, they just slotted in. He was phenomenal, man. Brilliant.
We only lost him in the last year.
Yeah, I was up at his funeral, actually. It was great, well attended by obviously Dundalk lads and Rovers lads, so yeah, it was a sad occasion.
And you played for him at Derry and Dundalk as
well. Yeah, he brought me back from Chelsea then to play for Derry, and that was just extraordinary. Like, I think it was 11,000 people at every home game up in Derry, and there was almost 6 or 7 at every away game. They used to take places over, and again won a treble with Derry, which hasn't been done since or before, so yeah, another proud record to hold on to.
We have John Cody, Ronan Finn and Barry Murphy on Shamrock Rovers. We're profiling them on the Saturday panel this week with thanks to Rockshore. We're going to take a break for news. We're going to go back after that with more conversation. And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. We're continuing our club profile of Shamrock Rovers, who are about to, still haven't done it, but they're about to win the League of Ireland title. They're in the FA Cup final next month against Cork City, and they've got a European campaign as well. We got three players who played a significant role in the story of the club and studio: Ronan Finn, John Cody and Barry Murphy. And remember, the League of Ireland coverage and Off the Ball brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Always be drink aware, get the facts, visit drinkaware.ie. The Saturday panel thanks to Rockshore. You can get all the reaction to the League of Ireland on LOI Late Nights on Fridays of game weeks. John Cody, who's the best Shamrock Rovers player you played with?
That's easy, Pat Bourne. Absolutely phenomenal footballer. Served his time in several clubs, Hearts, Midlothian. You think he played with Vancouver Whitecaps as well. But when he came back to Rovers, it was a whole different ballgame. He dictated most of, if not all, the play. Dictated the free kicks. Took the penalties, took the free kicks. Did everything. He was just a wonder man.
And played for Ireland as well, which,
yeah, he did, and he didn't get enough caps in my opinion, but it was a very successful Irish team at that stage, so he's probably a bit unlucky in that regard, but it doesn't deter from his abilities at all, in my opinion. I think he was just head and shoulders. As one of my colleagues used to describe him, he was a flamingo amongst pigeons.
Very good. Because you ended up at Chelsea, John, so you must have played against some. I mean, I was looking through the stats. You played Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United. I mean, was there a player that stood out that you played against? Who?
At that time, I think actually one of the standout players, we played against Everton in Stamford Bridge, and Everton were a very, very successful team at that time. And they had this guy Harper playing in midfield. He didn't play all the time.
Was going Alan Harper?
Yeah, Alan Harper. He was a fill-in guy. I couldn't believe the ability of this fella. He was just like, Reedy was beside him and stuff, but this guy was ran the whole game, and you couldn't get near him. You couldn't get him. You couldn't put a tackle on him because he was always aware. He was flicking it on, playing long, short, supporting. I actually voted for him for Player of the Year that year. I thought he was phenomenal, but it was a very decent Everton team. Played against David Rowcastle again, an England international.
Rocky Rowcastle,
yeah, fantastic. Unfortunately, passed away very young. There was tons of players. We're all decent players, all at a high level. Funny enough, when I came back to Derry just after leaving Chelsea, we had a friendly against Tottenham, and Paul Gascoigne was playing midfield, and he was the best I've ever played against. He was just extraordinary.
What about him?
It was just everything about him. He was a small, fat, roundy guy, but he could move like an absolute sprinter. His touch, his ability, you couldn't even get near enough to keep a kick. He was everything about world class. Everything he's just about 5 moves ahead of you before the ball even arrives. He knows where it's going.
And on bad pitches as well back then.
Well, no, there he wasn't too bad, in fairness. It wasn't that bad. It was probably one of the better ones, as it goes, after Milltown. Well, which was where did you go at that stage? But yeah, he was extraordinary.
What about the best player for Shamrock Rovers you played with? Now, you might have been upsetting people here, Ronan Finn, but we're putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I suppose in my first spell, maybe Gary Twigg. Obviously, Twiggy was a big name from me coming in, and Rovers had just won the league, and he was like the Rovers' main man. He was their shining light, real talisman. And then when you come in, and then you see it in training straight away from day one, just ability to finish, just so calm. You know, left four is always tend to look that bit, little bit better as well. But just real calm presence in front of goal, could brilliant in the air, and could drop in and could play and link the play really well. And really good movement. Always like you'd want the ball in behind. He was probably one of the best centre forwards I've played with. Then maybe later in the next spell, you know, you can't just look past Graham and Jack. You know, in fairness to the two of them, very difficult to split between the
Graham
two.
Graham Burke, Jack Byrne, yeah.
Yeah, like Jack, even earlier on this season, I think Jack was ticking the box really well. But maybe back 3-4 years ago for us, at the start of maybe 2020-21, he was brilliant. And then in fairness to Graham, I've always said, I always feel Graham will win Player of the Year. And I think this year he should win it. So I hope he does, because he's just been a phenomenal player since he's come to Rovers. Obviously got his move to Preston, ends up coming back. He's got international caps in that meantime. Just a brilliant, brilliant finisher, and always has. You know, when your Graham's playing, I feel for like with Rovers, they'll always have a chance of scoring, because you know Rovers will dominate the ball a lot of the time. And if Graham's not playing, they might, you know, could dominate the ball, but maybe just not have a strike from outside the box. Where when Graham's playing, I think there's an opportunity for a goal is always a possibility, and he's just, you know, just a real natural footballer.
What about the fact that you won what Player of the Year 3 times, Barry, but the best Rovers player you played with?
Has to be Paddy McCourt. It's just the best I've seen. The score of great goals. I think if you look back at his catalogue on YouTube, with the goals against Bray and Finn Harps, we've just never seen anyone in the league since do what he could do with a football. And that's probably during the time when he didn't have his most disciplined period of football either. He was fond of a drink back then, and him and Jay Gavin at Shamrock Rovers as well. And probably in a period where if you'd had a manager that put the reins on him a little bit, we would have got a bit more out of him. But as a player, he was just phenomenal. The stuff he could do, the dribbles he made, the Derry Pele, as they call him, and he got his move up to Derry and then to Celtic from that. But just some of the goals, his dribbling around the box, as you saw what he did for Celtic as well after that, he was just incredible.
And as a goalkeeper, the best player you faced?
I think Jason Byrne or Glenn Crowe was just always had a knack of scoring against me, and two different strikers as well. Glenn Crowe was kind of make you feel like you were set and ready to take a shot, and he'd take it early. He'd that little toe strike, you know, catch off guard, and just always had a knack of scoring against me. And then obviously moved to Bowes, and Gary Twigg had a knack of scoring against me as well. So yeah, as Ronan said, a really prolific, good striker.
Best player you faced, Ronan Finn?
Probably 1-on-1 would be maybe Theo Hernandez. When we played Milan that game, and you could just tell he was, you know, world class player, World Cup winner, you know, really could elite footballer. Then maybe other one, maybe when I was playing midfield, maybe Axel Witsel,
yeah, Belgian,
yeah, strong, deceivingly tall and strong. You know, when you're on the pitch looking up against him, you know, big lad and could move, big frame. Had a good career, obviously played for Dortmund. You know, plenty of caps with Belgium. Not a really good player, yeah.
It's amazing, lads. You talk about Alan Harper, Axel Witsel, or Glenn Crowe, whatever, how deep the quality of football is around the world. We're talking about trying to get the game up off the ground in this country. And even to think of the Irish teams we had, it's a deep pool.
You just look at where Rovers come into it in the European competitions, and you think, the Champions League on a Wednesday or Tuesday night, and you look at the big boys playing, but look at the games kicking off in July and the 8 or 9 rounds before it gets to that stage, and the quality in those rounds, and the decent managers, the Albert Rieras, who've come from good clubs and was managing Celtic last year, the depth of players that are coming down to manage these teams, never mind the quality of players that are in the team as well. It's a really high standard all across the board, and I think the teams at that level are getting closer to the teams at the top as well, just by sheer number of good quality coaches around Europe.
Yeah, I back that up. And I think from our country, our point of view, I think Rovers now, that gap's getting small. I think when I, and Barry, you might be able to agree, in European football maybe 10, 12 years ago, it was always a hope. It was always, you know, you needed a bit of luck. You know, in fairness to Rovers now, they're going out, they're playing against teams, and, you know, you're expecting results. You see the points return from the campaign last year in Europe. You know, again, you see their, what they want to achieve this year in the campaign going forward. They're going to places last year in their campaign, going to Vienna, you know, like tough venue, but, you know, second half, they were brilliant. You know, come out and they got their point, and European football away from home, traditionally very difficult. Rovers have changed the narrative on that, and they're going away. Obviously, they had a tough game in Prague a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, even in this group, it's a tough group, but I still expect them to accumulate, you know, enough points to be there or thereabouts qualifying.
If you're Ange Postecoglou, you might be worrying, because John Cody's former club Chelsea made it 3-0 now at the City Ground in the Premier League, and it's Reece James who's got the goal, and their fans leaving the home club there, and Ange just on the touchline. Just maybe he went back too soon into the game, because John Cody, you've gone to call it full circle. So you're a kid and you're supporting Rovers, then you play and you win doubles, and then you're going to Athens, is it, next month?
Yeah, Athens. Yeah.
So what's it been like being a Rovers on the road as a supporter?
It's been absolutely brilliant. as Ronan was saying earlier, there was a few sparse years, let's say, on the road. But once Michael came in and had huge success, and that was basically the start of it, yeah. And then into Tala, and then Stephen's road to success hasn't always been easy, as Ronan's always said. At the start, there was a lot of noise around the ground, around the fans. About, I think there were signs up in the south stand as well at one stage, enough is enough, and whatever. But he's stuck with it, and I've always been very supportive of his the way he's, the style of play he wanted to bring to the club. And it was... And it's proved to be a huge success. And I know UEFA get a lot of stick from all quarters, but I think that Conference League, the fact they set that up was made for the likes of Shamrock Rovers and smaller clubs around Europe, where they can trade blows with the bigger clubs and show that they can learn and succeed. After Rovers all the points they got last year in the Conference League was fantastic. I went to a couple of the games. It was in Vienna, and it's just phenomenal. It's brilliant. Went to Stamford Bridge. They treated me really well. It was nice to go back. Myself and Paddy Mulligan got special treatment there with our wives, and accordingly they looked after us really, really well. Unfortunately, the result didn't go our way, but it was just a great occasion all around.
Even for Chelsea, the because you got relegated.
Yeah.
And that was like the old, I remember it well, like when they got relegated in the 80s, and it was just the atmosphere wasn't good, and the shed and everything at Stamford Bridge, to go then with Abramovich's millions and all these trophies. I mean, even that journey, Jose Mourinho, was unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, I wasn't there for that. But much as I'd like to have been. But they went through an awful hard period of time in the 80s. They got relegated, but they bounced straight back up. I think Bobby Campbell became the manager then, and he brought them back into the first division. And then they were kind of mid-table obscurity until the Abramovich millions came in, and that just changes everything.
Because Barry talked about Roadstone and the academy and the changes since he was a first division player to now. I mean, it just feels like psychologically it took Rovers a long time after Milltown happened to get to back.
Yeah, I think everybody was kind of bruised and broken after that. There's no doubt, especially the supporters, when they didn't have the success. Like they really worked hard. I remember I was in touch with a lot of supporters at the time, and they really worked hard to try and get the finances together to buy the ground for the club. Now, or even just to rent it off the Maris fathers or whoever owned it. I don't know how it became the Kilcoyne's property to sell, but they managed it anyway. Yeah, so, and then you're drifting around grounds, going to different places, and then there was the don't go into Talca protest as well. So the supporters weren't even going to the matches, but they were standing outside on a Sunday afternoon. And that was, as a player, that must be just crippling. Like, if you have no support at the match and you don't have a real home ground. And Tala changed everything then. It's once they got into Tala, it was just so uplifting. And not only for Rovers, as Ron has always said, is like it just lifted all boats, it seems to have. Because all the clubs now, they need to get their acts together because they don't want to get Rovers too far away. The Rovers are hugely successful at the moment. But I'm sure other clubs are willing themselves to compete with them.
It's been Dundalk for a period there under Stephen Kenny and with Cork City, John Caulfield. There is a cyclical nature to it.
Mm.
When we talk about rivalries, the Shamrock Rovers to me has always been Bohemians. Has it always been Bohemians and that's it? Or is it other clubs as well?
Well, going back to my older brother used to say the original one was Drums and Rovers. Drumcondra and Rovers. That was the original rivalry. The Dublin Derby, the biggest match of the season, was playing Drums either in Milltown or over in Talca Park. But then Drums became defunct, so I think they just picked the nearest neighbour and said, "Okay, they'll do." And it's just, but it's brilliant though. I love those games; they're brilliant. The atmosphere is electric in them, and especially when Bows come to Talla.
Yeah.
I don't know; it must have brought nearly 2,000 people to the last one. It was phenomenal and a brilliant game and a great ad for the league. I think again, the standard of all the teams in the league has just risen above. It's unrecognisable from when I was playing. It's the ability of all the players is just phenomenal, and it's a joy to watch.
For me, I think the biggest difference, even you go back to Europe, competing is the fitness levels, you know, has changed. You know, it's full time.
I think summer football helped us as well in the fact that we were going in at pre-season level, same as probably most of the continentals. So that has helped.
And every club now would have an S&C in place. You know, gym is a huge part where you'd have been playing against teams in Europe maybe 10, 12 years ago, and they'd have just been that little bit more powerful, a little bit quicker, a little bit sharper. And I think now that gap has got a lot smaller. And I think you look at the likes of Rovers, Shells, and Fairness, you know, other Dundalk when I was there, that gap started to get smaller. And I think fitness is a huge element of football because if you're fit and you can stay in the game, you'll always have a chance. But inevitably, if you're not fit, you know, and you're not strong, you're not quick, you know, the better teams, they'll just run over you, you know, and that I think that's changed. And I think, again, probably maybe Dundalk, maybe 2016 in that kind of League of Ireland circles, I think it changed there. And then Stephen Bradley and that group, they really ramped it up and carried it on. But for me, fitness, you know, has changed massively in the League of Ireland last, you know, number of years.
Is it Bohemians for you? Was there when you were playing for Rovers?
Yeah, 100%. For me, obviously, wasn't around for the Drumcondra days, but yeah.
And neither was I.
But no, definitely, it was Bowes for me. Bowes home and away, you know, always tough fixture going to Daly Mount. Always that big, extra special going to Daly Mount and winning. Like, boy, I've had some tough days as well, you know, where there's nothing worse than being on the wrong end of a Dublin Derby result. And there's been some memorable fixtures. My favourite goal against Bowes, you know, late last minute header from a corner is my favourite ever goal. And we didn't even win. It was only an equaliser, but it was
just... How did you celebrate?
I celebrated by just a pylon. It was the last minute. Everyone thought Alan Mann has scored the header, but it wasn't. It was me. So that was
the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was a 93rd minute with our equaliser in Daly Mount, and that was my first season at Rovers. And again, that was maybe another moment where you realise this is a real club. And we had Rovers, and then just hearing the fans celebrate off the back of that, that was a nice memory for me. But yeah, it's always been Bowes, always will be Bowes.
As a goalkeeper, you must have had fun times at Dedman Park.
Oh, incredible. I think even the first night in Talla, when we played Bowes in the first derby, we were 1-0 down, 89th minute, Twiggy came up, scored 1-1, scored again in the 92nd minute, we won the first derby in Talla. I'm jumping into the stand in the 92nd minute, running around the pitch, and I think then we played Bowes and Daly Mountain and we beat them 4-0, and they were the times where the police were surrounding the pitch as well. It was kind of a much more aggressive policing at the time. There was Alsatians behind the goal on leashes. I remember going to get the ball from behind the goal, going between an Alsatian's leg to put it down on the 6-yard line. But they're just incredible games to play in, and it's kind of one of those ones where it doesn't matter where the team is in the league at the time, the games are always close. You can't pick a winner in either of those derby games, and it's probably being diluted a little bit because we're playing four times a season now. maybe a cup match in between as well. That those kind of seasons, there were two times, maybe three times a season. But the one that stood out for me was the FAI Cup one when we were in the first division with Rowers, and we got to play Bowes in the cup as well. And it was a massive draw. Gareth Farrelly was the manager. We played them in Talca, drew 1-1, should have beaten them. Then we went to Dalymount Park, and I saved a penalty against Farrelly. We went on to win 2-0 that day and knocked him out of the cup. And I think Gareth unfortunately got the sack after that, but vicious in the crowd, the way that kind of turned on things. But it was a brilliant game to play in. And I think Dalymount is always a great place to go and win, especially as a Rovers player.
And the goalkeeper, wherever you would go, you'd hear stuff. I mean, you'd hear a lot. You had to probably block it out, do you?
Yeah, you do. The grounds are so tight now. I think Talk is great. They're only a yard away from you. They'd be eating chips hanging over the edge. You could smell the chips as you're standing in goal. It used to kill me during the games. Same at Richmond Park, right behind the goals, and you can't get away from it. It's probably lessened a little bit now because there's so many people at the games. It's kind of just a dull noise comes onto the pitch now. But those kind of early years in the league, you could hear every word that was said in the crowd.
What would you say to maybe people in the League of Ireland to go, you know what, Shamrock Rovers, they've got all the resources, they've got all the money. There could be detractors. Is there a jealousy point of view? Is there a legitimate thing to say about that? Or is it just a case of you need to build your own success?
No, I think there's been money spread throughout the league this year. I think Derry has spent a lot of money. I think Pats as well. And that's probably where the disappointment has come from Pats and the underachieving this season. I think you look at going down to Cork and losing the way they did in the cup match. I think to be bitterly disappointed. And I think last night was a repercussion of that. They needed to put on a performance for their fans, and they did. They were excellent last night, but it's not a massive thing where Rovers are going and outspending people as well. They've brought in some quality young players and players who maybe discarded at other teams. Danny Grant let go from Bowes. He's been exceptional for Rovers this year. Josh Honan has come in, a young kid down in Cork City. So they've recruited really well, but they have spent money. They've recruited really well. And listen, to be fair to other teams, there hasn't really been a challenge to Rovers over the last couple of years, bar last season with Chels. You look at the league difference in terms of points. Nobody's got in kind of the last series of games with a close run of Rovers going into the last couple of games, and Rovers have pulled away. And I think that probably needs to change next year. There's a lot of pressure on a couple of managers next season.
Victor Ojeduna is going to Arsenal from Shamrock Rovers. And Gavin Mizuna, maybe the most high-profile player before him to leave for England. I mean, you encountered him at a young age, obviously a goalkeeper like yourself, Barry.
Yeah, I was just doing a bit of coaching on the side, and I got a Facebook message from a lady asking if I'd come down and coach her son. I used to play for Leicester Celtic. He was just starting out his road there, and I think he was 8 or 9. I went down, this young little fella down on the Astro, just me and him, and knocking balls. And I was thinking, it's an 8 or 9 year old, I better put on a handy enough session starting off. And went down, he was just incredible. Stock a balls into him and had to rip up the page and just do my own thing with him. He was just absolutely phenomenal. All the basics right. His kicking was brilliant. His passing, his hands, exquisite. And then I think he went into the Rovers Academy, and then a couple of years later, I think 15 or 16, he's starting down in Cork for Rovers and saving penalties. He was just phenomenal talent.
So you followed him very closely, his progression?
Yeah, and kept in contact as well. Just send the odd message every now and again, and obviously going through a bit of a tough time with injuries and bench today, I think, for Southampton as well, and has lost his place in the Ireland team to Queeveen, but exceptional talent.
Shamrock Rovers chat here with John Cody, Barry Murphy and Ronan Finn. Just looking at the screens here, Chelsea were reduced to 10 players by the end at the City Ground, but it didn't really matter when it came to the results. It was Matt Augusta who got sent off. But Chelsea 3, Nottingham Forest 0, Josh Eschenpong, Pedro Neto and Reece James with the goals, and Ange Postecoglou, a man under pressure. And Barry spoke about the games in the Championship there. Oxford United beaten Derby County by goal to nil. At the moment, coming up to full time, Southampton 0, Swansea 0, and QPR 1, Millwall 2. What about the money that's going into these academies? Then the government's going to give 3 million a year, Ron and Finn. Is this, having worked in the game recently and played in the game recently, going to be something that can kickstart an industry in the country?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's been a long time coming, and obviously the clubs, it's great financial support and they need it. And now, obviously, it now needs to be spent in the right way, whether that's in, you know, education channels within football clubs that they're setting up, you know, something in place that they can combine maybe full-time football with these young lads while still giving them the chance to continue their education. And it, as I said, we need help. It needs the support, and because there's a model there. You look at, you know, other nations have been doing it, and I think it will only hopefully this is the start of it, and then it will grow and it'll be more, because but it needs to be spent the right way. I think that has to be key, has to be spent in the right way in order to go back and look for more, because you just don't want to blow it. You don't. There's an opportunity to get it right from the start, and hopefully now there's a plan in place, and the clubs need to help each other. I think you don't just want one academy, you know, dominating. You want, you know, almost, you know, assisting and advising on how best way to have something in place, whether that's an educational program. You want the academies all being competitive, because that will then just produce better players, better matches, and then inevitably lead to more players going into the first team, which will then lead to players being sold, which will then benefit revenue from the first team. So I think right now the decision has to be very careful of how it's being spent amongst the clubs, what is their plan to do it. So I think it's great that the money's in now. It's just, right, how are we spending it?
Now, you went to England in your 20s, John, but most players back in your day would have gone in their teens. Yeah. The export of the problem, we can't do that anymore because of Brexit, so you have to develop them here.
Yeah, it's a huge plus, I think, Brexit has been, because, as you say, the players...
You know the choice now.
No, exactly. Well, they could go to the continent, I suppose, at a younger age, but it's fantastic to see the players, because you get to see them just arriving almost on their journey, like we were just saying earlier, Stephen has thrown in a good few of his young academy players, basically because he's had to with a few injury problems. That's great to see the likes of Max and Victor and all these lads, these young lads, young Barrett as well, coming in, and Corey, who's been magnificent this year. And it's just phenomenal. But it's great to see the kids getting the chance to be able to show what they're made of and their abilities on the field. And not just Rovers, I'm sure all the other clubs throughout the land. And it's very important, as Ronan says, to spend the money correctly. Because we don't want a scenario whereby you have two teams running away with the league every year and just untouchable, as possibly in Scotland has happened.
Yeah.
We want every club to be competitive, like throughout the country, like the likes of Kerry and even Cork, all those Finn Harps, vital to the league, that we have success down the country across the board.
What do you see this academy's picture at?
It's brilliant. It's the 3 million, the initial spend is excellent, but it's the precedent it sets now to go and to have a pipeline of funds coming in each budget that comes along. And it's just, as the lad said, it's how it's spent. It's brilliant people at all the clubs. You look at Ger O'Brien running the Pats Academy, and Bowes they've all spent their own money as well internally. Bowes put a lot of money into the Oscar Trainer Centre out there, so it's just the funding that's needed. But when you look at the players that have come through, with the Ojan Funes, the Michael Noonans, the Mason Melias, they've come through probably despite the facilities they've had to deal with over the last couple of years, and that's down to the volunteers and the people that have put in the time, and to compensate them with giving them full-time roles and add maybe two or three full-time roles into it, it's only going to benefit these players going forward. And you look at those players and the model it is now to... You look at the smaller countries like ours around Europe, the Bodo Glimpse, their model is to sell to the bigger countries beside them. And that's going to happen with the likes of us. It's going to be a selling league as well, but we'll get to keep that talent and try and get as much out of it as we can early on before they go to 18. And then to reinvest that money that initially comes back into the infrastructure here. And again, it breeds more players, as Ronan says.
Stephen Bradley, can you see him as a future Ireland manager, Ronan Finn?
Absolutely, yeah. I do. I think he ticks all the boxes in terms of his personality, tactically, you know, in fairness, I've again been lucky enough to work with some really good managers, but tactically, you know, he's so astute and really sees the game. He will analyse the game. Very clever, like really clever football brain. I think a lot of managers have played, being top manager, being midfielders, and he sees the game. And I think he's all the attributes to go, whether... you know, he's obviously, you know, doing a great job at Shamrock Rovers. So, I mean, whether he would want it right now, who knows? He's very comfortable. And I think, you know, on the way to another title, competing in, you know, European football, if the job came along, yeah, it'd be a big decision to make.
What did he learn? Because you were there through the whole four in a row. What did he get better at?
Tell you what, he always had a strong mentality. And... you need to be thick-skinned to be at Rovers, because when the times aren't good, it can be a difficult place to play. And I think a lot of brilliant players have come into Rovers and probably haven't, you know, hit the heights. and no different for a manager. You know, a lot of good managers have been in Shamrock Rovers. Stephen, as we spoke about earlier, during that early period, would have been, he was a young man, like, you know, young family, and would have been a difficult period how he, you know, maintained his level of composure, his game plan. You know, never put any, you know, he took all the, you know, even when the fans at that stage weren't happy, he took it on him, never put it on us as players. That was brilliant man management. And then he just had a great, you know, there's a really good bond between, you know, the senior lads in the group and Stephen, especially at my time. We had a really good, you know, leadership group. You could go to him, you could speak to him. If he needed a day off, you know, he'd listen to you because he was coming from, he'd only recently finished playing, so he understood it. He was still, you know, so involved in the game from a playing point of view that the transition to management, he probably had a lot of the traits that he was able to bring through. And yeah, you know, just, and you know what, off the ball, just really, really, you know, personal, really could go to him with any issues, you know, able to help you. And he signed every player in that dressing room. So, you know, as a group within that dressing room, you know that this manager wants you here because he's brought you here. And you see him, what he's done with the likes of Corey, Gavin, throwing Gavin in at 16. You know, just, I'm sure there's going to be more coming through over the next few, but not being afraid to put young players through. And he's just been key to the success of Rovers over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. Can't say enough about him, really.
Just get some WhatsApps in here, 0879 180 180. Do the lads think Stephen Bradley will be the next Ireland manager? And if so, would he bring some Irish League players into the setup? It's kind of just what we asked Ronan there. Have great memories of John Cody when you played for Billy Baxter's brigade at Monaghan United in the early 90s. Great days in what was a GA region. The Magic Mons will hopefully appear again in the league pyramids, says David and Donegal. The late Billy Baxter. I met Billy.
Lovely man.
Went out with Billy a couple of times for a few jars.
Yeah.
And what a football encyclopedia.
Oh, completely world knowledge of football. A great lad. We used to be called the Blue Rinse Brigade.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we had 7 players in their 30s. So, yeah. Yeah, they were, I had one season up at Monaghan under Billy. Yeah, fabulous guy. Really great fun. Great manager. And yeah, great, just great crack.
Shamrock Rovers, what does that mean to you, John? Because it's been a huge part of your life.
Yeah, it has been. And yeah, just huge part of my life, I suppose. Yeah, don't miss any games. Go to some away games as well.
You were there last night?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, and Pats, in fairness to them, played really well and deserved their points. We didn't. And that's the way that goes. But I'm sure they'll get it over the line in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's been a huge journey for me. It's been a lifelong love. I think, obviously, it was my first love in football. And I think that's hard to get past then in later years. It's just great.
Just
yeah.
Get a real sense of community, the friends you have.
Yeah.
Don't match has gone away.
And because I played in the 80s as well, I have friends going back that long, that's 40 years ago. So it just, time goes so quickly as well. And then we have the young lads like Barry and Ronan here coming in, and they're just rejuvenating the club. And it just seems to be keep on getting better and better and better. And just on Stephen Bradley, I think his strength of character as well has been huge, in, not only in, like on his football side, but on his personal side as well, with the problems that his young lad has had and stuff. And to deal with that and still to have a hugely successful football club, I myself personally, I don't know how he did it, but I just hats off to him.
Yeah, no, well said. And Barry, for you, because you started there at such a young age, what do you see as the future of Shamrock Rovers Club?
Yeah, it's moving forward. It's as Ronan said, Stephen, if he does decide to stay on, he probably does have a decision to make in the next couple of years in terms of where's the heights he can get to with Shamrock Rovers in terms of European football. There's obviously going to be a next step going to the European or the Europa League and the Champions League. Rovers and the League of Ireland equipped to get to that stage, probably not at the moment, but that would be where he wants to get. So if a decision comes around that he needs to make, I'm sure he wants to strike when the iron's hot. But in terms of where the club is left from where I was, it was always about going to training up in Kiltipper. You were always talking about you want to be there when the stadium opens, then it's you want to be there when they win the league, then it's you want to be there when they get to Europe. And it's all about these little milestones, and they're going progressively each year. They're starting to hit those milestones for players coming through from this country. It's all about going and playing for your local club and trying to progress those teams. And what's happened for me coming through Rovers was brilliant for me personally. It was part of my formative years. I grew up there, and to see him now, and I'm still involved with the commentary there, and as I kind of move into the media side of things, they've been brilliant for me as well. And that's what these clubs do on an individual basis. The Pats, the Bows, Shells, they all do around the country as well. So it's just a really community effort.
And as we look ahead to the next few years at Rovers, Ronan Finn is somebody who played about 400 times for the club. I mean, they've got Shelia, Athens, Shakhtar Donetsk, Breda Blick and Hamrun Sparta.
to play in Europe now until Christmas. I mean, that even that in itself is something to look forward to.
Yeah, and as a player, these are the nights you really remember. You know, the season's over for a lot of other clubs in the next, you know, week or so, but not for Shamrock Rovers and for Shelbourne. So they'll, I'm sure, get a little break, but these are just brilliant nights, you know. In Tala, for me, it was always the European nights that, you know, you really look forward to. They're that extra bit special. You know, you'd see people in the crowd that bit earlier, the warm-ups that bit more intense. You're going to away grounds. You know, you're just a real special time in round European campaigns. So no, listen, the lads they've worked so hard to be into this position, and I'm sure off the back of the success that they've had last year, they want more of it. As you know, Michael O'Neill said to us, you know, many years ago, and unfortunately we didn't live up to it, but you don't want to be there just to make up the numbers. And in fairness to Stephen's group, last year, you know, they went above and beyond that. So no, great time to be. As John said, I love going back to the club, you know, being up to, you know, a couple of European games this year, and then doing the stuff with Premier. So it's good to be back in them European nights. It's just that extra bit special. So good to be a Shamrock Rovers player right now. Good to be a fan.
And great to hear JC. He's a Rovers legend on and off the pitch, says Paul in Dublin 12. So you have your fans today, John.
Well, one. Thanks,
John,
Paul.
John Cody, Ronan Finn, Barry Murphy, thanks for coming in, lads.
Thanks, Sean.
Talk about Shamrock Rovers over the last hour, giving us a flavour of the club and where they're at in such a great place at the moment.
League of Ireland football.
On off the ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.